How many was here last Sunday? And we heard Jim go off track a little bit. God led him to speak on something that wasn't what he prepared for. And he talked about prayer and how important prayer is in our life and how important it is that we listen to the Holy Spirit. So I've been preparing this message for probably, I started on a couple of months ago, and this thing moves. And it's on prayer. I don't know if it's up here. How is your prayer life? Simple question. How is your prayer life? And I got to tell you, I'm going to refer back to some of the things that Jim said last week, because to me, there's a ton of stories in the Bible about prayer. Prayer is talked about throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. We've all read stories on prayer. But personal testimonies, like we heard last week about prayer and what it does in our life, or anything God does in our life, is so much more powerful. So I'm going to refer back to a lot of what Jim said last week. If you missed it, you'll have to, I think it's probably on the podcast. Is it? Podcast? Maybe? No? Not yet? You got to go back and take a look at it if you missed it, because it was very powerful. The last time I spoke on relationship or religion. And one of the things I started out with was a letter written from an elderly couple, parents to their children. And it said, if you find that Christianity exhausts you, draining you of your energy, then you are practicing religion rather than enjoying a relationship with Jesus Christ. Your walk with the Lord will not make you weary. It will invigorate you, restore your strength, and energize your life. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the same thing with our prayer life. Our prayer life should not be rote. It should not make us weary. It should not tax us. It should not be something we dread. Our prayer life should energize us. It should be the central focus, really, in almost everything we do, is our prayer life. So what we're going to do, I'm going to go back. We're going to look at some, there's a lot of scripture we're going to look at. And like I said, the Bible is full of scripture on prayer. Why God wanted me to use these particular verses, these scriptures, I don't know. But that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at these. I'm going to look at some Old Testament, and we're going to look at some New Testament. We're going to start out in 2 Kings 19, 9 through 19. Now Sennacherib received a report that Tirhaka, the king of Cush, was marching out to fight against him. So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah with this word. Say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let the God you depend on deceive you when he says Jerusalem will not be given into the hands of the king of Assyria. Surely you have heard that the kings of Assyria have done to all the countries, destroying them completely. And will you be delivered? Did the gods of the nations that were destroyed by my predecessors deliver them? The gods of Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath or the king of Arpad? Where are the kings of Ler, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Okay, so what's going on here is Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and Assyria has been on this mass destruction of kingdoms for many years. And it's gone from one king of Assyria to the next king of Assyria. Now, Sennacherib is in the process of, he's at the gates of Jerusalem. The city is surrounded. He's got close to 200,000 military members, and the king of Cush is getting ready to march out against him. So he wants to get this king of Judah, the Jerusalem, he wants to get this taken care of now. And he's telling Hezekiah, look at what we've done. Look at what we've destroyed. Look at who we've taken prisoner. And their gods didn't help them. Why is your God any different? Your God's not going to help you. So Hezekiah, we're going to go back to 14. Hezekiah, he received the letter. Hezekiah 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord and he spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to ridicule the living God. It is true, Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them. For they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by human hands. Now, Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, Lord, are God. Amen. So Hezekiah, much like the young lady Teresa that Jim talked about last week, Hezekiah was basically at the end of his rope. Here he is surrounded by the king of Assyria and his massive armies, with no way to defend Jerusalem, except one. Hezekiah took the letters up to the temple, spread them before himself, and got down on his hands and knees to give it to God. Give ear, O Lord. See, Lord. We are your servants. We are your children. Those other gods couldn't take care of those kingdoms. But you, Lord, can save us, and only you. Now, this is a huge undertaking for God. But I kind of want to compare it to what Jim talked about with Teresa. She was at the end of her rope. She was ready to die. And who can blame her? When Pastor Jim described the life that she had up to that moment, who would believe there was a God? She wasn't a believer, but God had revealed himself to her some way, somehow, some shape, some form that led her to pray, God, if you're real, show me. I'm getting little chills up the back of my neck right now just thinking about that. God, if you're real, show me. Hezekiah, God, listen. They're going to destroy us. The kingdom is gone. We can't stop them. Hezekiah's prayer was just a personal plea to him. He'd done everything he could do. It was an appeal to his father for help. It was an impassioned conversation with God. He was open and honest about what he was asking. Hezekiah didn't hide anything. He wasn't trying to trick God. He needed God's help. How important is prayer? You know, pouring out our hearts in prayer helps us grow in our relationship with Christ. It's not up there, but I want to go back. How is your prayer life? I know for me, sometimes my prayer life can become the same every day. You get into a habit of praying at a certain time every day, or You do your studies at a certain time every day. It's good to have those habits of studying and praying, but you don't want your prayer to become old hat. You don't want your prayer to become the same every day. That prayer is you speaking to God. It's you sharing your heart with Him. What's going on in your life? It's sharing what's going on in your life. You know, what if I got up every morning, did the exact same thing, and said the exact same things to my wife every single morning? Every morning it was the same. That would get boring after a while, and one of us would lose, our tension would just be gone. God wants us to speak to Him in our prayer life. Not recite a prayer, but to speak to Him. And we don't have to, here's the thing too. These heartfelt prayers to our Lord doesn't have to be when we're at the end of our rope. We don't have to be at the end of our rope to speak to God about what's going on in our life. Nehemiah 1:4 through 11. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let Your ear be attentive and Your eyes open to hear the prayer Your servant is praying before You day and night for Your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against You. We have acted very wickedly toward You. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws You gave Your servant Moses. Remember the instruction You gave Your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to Me and obey My commands, then even if Your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for My name. They are Your servants and Your people, whom You redeemed by Your great strength and Your mighty hand. Lord, let Your ear be attentive to the prayer of this Your servant and to the prayer of Your servants who delight in revering Your name. Give Your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. This was Nehemiah praying before seeing the king of Persia in order to be allowed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city, the walls and the city of Jerusalem. And God found favor on Nehemiah that day. And it was the beginning of a long journey for Nehemiah. Isaiah 38, 1 through 8, in the NIV. During the siege, and I'm not, you know what? I'm not going to read. I'm going to hold on to this. Because I'm going to come back to it. And Luke 1, 5 through 17. So, not only, well, I'm just going to read this. Luke 1, 5 through 17, NIV. The birth of John the Baptist is foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." So not only were their prayers heard, but their son was going to be the very man who foretold the coming of Christ. Modern day, in those days, Christ. John the Baptist. They couldn't have kids. Tried and tried, could not have kids. Not only were their prayers answered, but their son would be John the Baptist. How many times do we pray for things and God answers in such a way that's way more than what we could have ever hoped for? My problem, I doubt if anybody out here has that problem. My problem is I want to handle things myself. I want to do it on my own. When I was in the Air Force, it was about the 7-year point I decided that I was going to make it a career. And when we made that decision, it was a decision me and Marianne made together. When we made that decision, my goal was to be a chief master sergeant, an E-9, the highest rank you could go in the Air Force. That's what I wanted to do. I was stationed in Korea. I was a first sergeant over there. I was a master sergeant. And the master sergeant career field, it was tough to get promoted in. Very competitive. Very, very competitive. And I knew what I had to do to get promoted. There's certain jobs you had to fill. There's certain awards you had to win. There's certain educational requirements you had to do. It's all spelled out for you. It was, you know, I knew what I had to do. So I proceeded to do it on my own. About 4 months before I was to come back home from Korea, there was an award ceremony, and it was for First Sergeant of the Year for Headquarters 7th Air Force. I knew that in order for me to make the next grade, Senior Master Sergeant, I had to be selected First Sergeant of the Year. I was nominated. I'm at the award ceremony. They go to read the name, and it wasn't me. Another first sergeant won. In my mind, because I hadn't talked to God about any of this, I knew what I needed to do. In my mind, I was done. I might as well, you know what, I might as well put in my retirement paperwork when I get home. I want to be an E-9, but I'm just going to be an E-7. Nothing wrong with that. I'm going to retire as an E-7. That's okay. Couple weeks after the ceremony, and I'm still like this, okay? My spirit is down because I'm not really sharing anything with God because I'm responsible for me. A couple weeks later, line numbers come out for E9 or E8. Commander, full brigade colonel, calls me into his office, and I didn't know what he called me in there for, and he starts shaking his head, and I'm like, "What, sir?" He just shakes his head. Did I do something? Because he chewed me out before, and he knew how to chew people out. He goes, "I can't believe it." I go, "What?" He goes, "You made E8. I'm like, "What? You made E8. You've got a line number for E8. It's like God took a 2x4 and hit me upside the head. Why are you trying to control your life so much You're pushing me out of it. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. You think you are in control? You think anything good that happens to you is because of you? Because you're so smart and good looking? That's why everything good happens to you? Because of you? I had to get down on my knees and ask for forgiveness because I was controlling my life. And guess what? I didn't learn my lesson. You'd think you could learn your lesson. You'd think I would learn my lesson. As smart as I am, come on. So, 2 or 3 years later, still in the Air Force, I'm up for promotion to chief, E9. We're on vacation in California. We're at the coast. I'm studying the material, but again, in my head, there's no way I can make chief. It's my first time out. I'm tired. I'm getting old. I mean, like, I was like 44, 43, 42, something, you know. I was getting old. So I'm studying. We're at the beach. Kids are playing. Marianne's out there. I just closed a book. I went and told Marianne. I said, I'm going to retire. I'm going to drop my paperwork, and I'm done. Okay. And I did. As soon as we got home, off of vacation, I turned my paperwork in. I had given up on my hope of being a chief master sergeant. I was done. I was old. I'm sorry, David. And so when it came time to test, even though I had dropped my paperwork to retire, I dropped it for 1 year out, I went in and took the test anyway. And it didn't go well. You could tell I quit studying. It was not good. It's a 100-question test. And for promotion in the higher grades in the Air Force, they combine this test with a board score. You get a board score. A group of chief master sergeants sit on this board, and your records go before this board, and they score every single record in the Air Force for promotion to chief. So about 2 months, I took the test. A couple months go by. I'm about 2 months away from actually retiring, and the group chief calls me. And he says, I need you to come over, Randy. So I'm like, okay. It wasn't anything out of the norm. I get called to the group chief's office quite often. So I go over, and he goes, you made chief. I'm like, what? He goes, you made chief. Again, that two before just whacked me right upside the head. So you think you're so smart and good looking that you can predict the future, that you are in control of what goes on in your life? I scored a 45 on that test. Awful. My board score was the third highest in the Air Force. And I got promoted to chief. 45 people got selected. I was number 45. Now, I didn't pray for this to happen. If God will reward me without me even going to Him in prayer and asking, how much more will He take care of us if we seek Him, if we put everything in His hands, if we ask for His favor? And it doesn't matter what it's in, your work life, your school life, your personal life, your relationships, your relationship with Him. If He will take care of us, and I'm sure He's taking care of I'm not the only one in here that's that smart. If he will take care of us in the times that we neglect him and spend no time with him and are not in conversation with him, how much more can we look forward to if we allow him to control our life? If we allow our decision-making process to go to him first before we, in all of our wisdom, make those decisions. Amen? Amen. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Any worriers in here? I'm telling you right now, you don't need to worry. I know it's easy to say. I get it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, doesn't say just in some situations. Doesn't say when you feel like it. Doesn't say when you think you're in control, don't worry about it. It says in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You know what? If God didn't care for me, I would have retired as a master sergeant. I might have retired as an E6 if God didn't care for me. Because I didn't go to him. I was serving him, but I didn't go to him in prayer for these things. He cares for you. He did that for me. It wasn't Randy. Because he loved me, he did it for me. Think about our children, what we do for our children because we love them. Don't we want the best for our children? In all things. Me too. In relationships, in work, we want the best for our children. God wants the best for us. Jim talks about all the time the poor decisions we make, the decisions that God doesn't want us to go down this road or he doesn't want us to go down that road. He wants us to use him as that lamp on our feet to take us down this path right here. But no, we know what's good for us, don't we? Mm-hmm. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And of course, Acts 2:42, the four pillars of the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Devoted themselves. How's your prayer life? I have to work on mine. I'm being honest with you. I do. Because I want to be in charge. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be successful, but I want it to be on my terms. I want to have good relationships, but I want it to be on my terms. I want to love people, but I want it to be on my terms. That's the wrong way of looking at it, folks. We have to have a heart for God, and it starts in our prayer life. It starts in our prayer life. So the rest of the story, Hezekiah prayed that they would be safe, that God would protect them. What? So let's go to 2 Kings 19, 32 through 36. Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. Now Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. Wow. It's an answer to prayer. Probably not what Hezekiah was thinking. Who knows? He knew his only chance to save the city was through God. 185,000 dead in the Assyrian camp the next morning. What do we risk if we don't rely on God? If we decide to do it our way and we don't put it in God's hand, what do we risk? 2 Chronicles 16, 1 through 9. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah to prevent anyone from leaving or entering the territory of Asa, king of Judah. Asa then took the silver and gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and of his own palace and sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, who was ruling in Damascus. Let there be a treaty between me and you, he said, as there was between my father and your father. See, I am sending you silver and gold. Now break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so he will withdraw from me. Ben-Hadad agreed with King Asa and sent the commanders of his forces against the towns of Israel. They conquered Ion, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. When Baasha heard this, he stopped building Ramah and abandoned his work. Then King Asa brought all the men of Judah, and they carried away from Ramah the stones and timber Baasha had been using. With them he built up Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. So what do you risk when you don't take it to the Lord? When you don't allow him to defend you? When you don't allow him to be a part of your plan, when you don't allow him to be that path, that light for your feet on the path, what do you risk? When you try to do things in your own power, when you try to do things in your own power, you've taken God out of the equation. You don't even give him a chance. Now, thankfully, in my case, he took care of me. And the king of Judah was safe. But because I don't know the things that I missed out on, the things that I could have had, the relationships, whatever, if I would allow God to work through me instead of me trying to do it on my own, and then him coming back and fixing it in the end, None of us do if we try to do things on our own. None of us know what could have been had we given it to God in the beginning. What have we missed out on? What have we risked by doing it our way? So I want you to think about that. How's your prayer life? Mine needs work. I need to think of God first in all things. All things. Sometimes when we get to the end of our rope, like Teresa did, we end up being there, and God still takes care of us. He took care of her. Praise team, please come on up. In Jim George's book, A Man After God's Own Heart, he speaks to those things that are the mark of a man after God's heart. And the first thing he talks about is a heart that obeys. The second thing he talks about is a heart that prays. A man after God's own heart. A heart that obeys and a heart that prays. If you take a look at some of the men that God used throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament, they all had a heart of prayer. All of them. They sometimes didn't obey. They were sinful men. They got themselves into trouble. But they had a heart of prayer. They went to the Lord. They took things to the Lord. And He was faithful to them in every instant. Every time. So there's a lesson for us there. The first thing we need to do when adversity comes our way, when good things come our way, we need to pray with thankful hearts for the good things. And for any adversity, listen to me, folks. I've made this mistake way too many times. Any adversity, take it to the Lord. He is faithful. I can promise you that because He's made that promise to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, that we would allow You to be on the throne, that we would not try and be in that position ourselves, Heavenly Father. That we would give everything to You, Lord. That we would let You guide us, direct us, teach us, and lead us, Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that we would just give into Your will, Lord, and push our will to the side, because we're usually wrong, Heavenly Father. We thank You, God, that we have someone to go to. That we have someone to seek advice from. That we can just share with You, Heavenly Father, what's going on in our lives. And Lord, You're always there for us. Anytime, day or night, we have that chance. I pray, Lord, that we would just set aside the pride that wants us to be in control, that we would just set it aside, Lord, and allow You to speak to us. Thank You for this day, Father. We thank You for Your word. I just pray a blessing upon every household here today, represented here today, Lord, that You would be with them through the coming week, guide and direct and love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.